Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis, daf Zion. One singular topic over the course of today, and that is the significance and importance of rain. I know that sounds like, isn't that what we've been discussing? Yes, that's correct. What we're going to be discussing is really in the form of Agarata, where we're going to be discussing how important and significant rain is that it should come down. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learning the Zecher Nishmas Lupin Zaltzman. We find ourselves on Vav Amud Beis and a bracha. When rain comes down, rain is so important that it requires a bracha. The Gemara, the Mishnayos in Brachos talk about Birchos Hodah, that there is a when you see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifest in this world, so you make a bracha. So generally speaking, you look in the Mishnayos in Brachos. The bracha over there is form of Hatova Meitiv, or if it's specific to the actual that which you're viewing. Our Gemara starts off today. We discuss the bracha that you make. We're on Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words of Amrav Yehuda Amrav. Amrav Ash Deganam B'Diktani. Sorry. Amrav Yabahu. There we go. Okay, it's about six lines from the bottom of the Amud. So at what point exactly do we make a bracha on Gesha? Meaning, it's got to be rain, it's got to be significant rain, and when do we make the bracha? Parenthetically, by the way, we don't make the bracha, meaning it's a strange way to start the Gemara today, where the Gemara gives us instruction of what to do, and we, generally speaking, don't do it. So it's already discussed amongst the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. It's already discussed why it is that this bracha has kind of fell out of use. We don't make this bracha. But before we explain why we don't, let's just go through the Gemara. So we make a bracha on the Geshem when we see when the first rains come down in the season. We make a bracha. Mishiyetze chasen lekas kala. And that's when the chasen goes and greets the kala. Obviously, it's a metaphor, chasen greeting the kala. If you take a look at Rashi over here explains the metaphor. Rashi explains the metaphor in one of two ways. Me'emesai mevarchan al geshamim. I'm sorry, next Rashi. I'm sorry, let me do that Rashi. Me'emesai mevarchan al geshamim. The Perek HaRoa, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Brachos. Amrina al geshamim omer atav ha'metiv. So the Gemara in Brachos says that when you see rain, you say atav ha'metiv. It's good. Not only is it good, but it provides goodness for others as well. So v'hasam parchin and hach bracha detakal rabbanan. And the Gemara over there notes, well, I understand, what do you mean atov ha'metiv? We're going to go right now, in about a moment, we're about to go through a different nusach, a different text of the bracha. So what is the, so when do you say atov ha'metiv? V'meshanin l'ha dechazam echzev ha'ha deshem ha'mishma. So the Gemara says the difference is where you actually see the rain versus where you hear about the rain. If you just hear about the rain, oh, that's good news, atov ha'metiv. But if you actually see the rain, so then you make the formula bracha that we're about to discuss right now. Rashi says chasan lekas kala, the groom meeting the bride. So obviously this is a metaphor. Rashi explains the metaphor. Shiyardu kol kach shekeshatipa nafelas yotza acheres uboletas kenegda. Mipi amori. So Rashi's first explanation of the Gemara over here is that there's already so much, it started raining, there's already a puddle on the ground, and so therefore when a raindrop comes down, it actually excites the puddle, it causes a raindrop to jump up. So basically now you have rain coming down, you have rain coming up based on the puddles, the rain hitting the puddle, and that's the analogy of chasen v'kala. That's one explanation. Rashi gives another explanation. Lishna achrina shehashvakim mikalchem maim shuk mikalach v'zeh mikalach negdom. So much rain that's coming down that already there are streams of rain coming, and the streams of rain are hitting one another. Right, this marketplace has a stream coming down. This one has a stream coming down, and they hit one another. And that's another possible understanding of the Gemara. Basically, to put it simply, it's not a light. It's not a light rain, but it's a nice, a healthy amount of downpour, and then you should be making the bracha. What is the bracha? So the Gemara goes over the actual nusach ha-bracha. So my mevarech. So what is the nusach? I'm a Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Modim anach l'chashem l'kenu, I'll call tipa v'tipa. We thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for every raindrop. Sha'arara talanu. Rav Yochanan Messiah b'hachi. Rav Yochanan adds more to the nusach. He would conclude the following manner. Yilu pino male sharia kayam l'shanen rina kahamon galav. Should sound familiar. What we say on Shabbos, the nusach of the Shabbos, before Yishabach. Ad kel. I'm sorry. Al yazvenu rachamecha shem alkeinu v'al v'lo azavunu. So and don't withhold your rachamim from us, and don't desert us. Baruch rov hahodos. And then how do we conclude this bracha? Baruch atah Hashem. Rov hahodos. Now rov hahodos could be translated one of two ways. It could either be translated rov hahodos. We thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for the majority of the good that you do for us. Now that's a funny translation. The Gemara is about to comment. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? You do most good for us. Well, most good. What about all good? So the Gemara is going to comment on that. Another possibility of what the word Rov Hados means is not Rov meaning majority, but Rov meaning abundance. So this is what bothers the Gemara. Rov Hados, v'lo kol Hados. Now the Gemara thinks at this point in time that we're going to go with the first explanation that I just said, which is Rov means majority. So the Gemara says majority, not everything. So Amrava Ima Kel Hados. So Rava says, you're right. Point well taken. So the siyum, so the conclusion of it, should not be Rov Hados, but rather Kel Hahodaos. So Amar of Papa, so Rav Papa says, you know, I really like both. I like the Rov Hados, I like the Kel Hados. So Hilkach Nimrinu Litarvayu, therefore we should say both. If this sounds familiar to you, Rav Papa, every time we have a bracha where there is a number of possible nuscha'os, so Rav Papa always conflates, and he always takes the two, and he always puts the two together. So Hilkach Nimrinu Litarvayu, you should say both of them. And how will it come out? So the girsa that we have in our Gemara is Kel Hados V'Rov Hados. Okay, question of exactly what the girsa is, how the conclusion should go. But you took a look at Rashi, the top Rashi on Zayin Amud Aleph. Rashi writes, Baruch atah berov hahodaos bemarbis hahodaos hakel shokol hahodaos mashma mitchila haya mashma rov mamish. Again, Rashi over here just goes over what we already said, that the word rov, originally the Gemara thought it to mean majority, velo merubos, not abundance, right? And the same thing with Yishtabach. And so therefore, Rov and Kel are both inserted into the conclusion. That's how Rav Papa concludes. Okay? So therefore, when you see the first rains of the season, you make a bracha. What bracha should you say? So if you just hear about the rain, Atova Ametiv, as per the Gemara in Brachos, if you actually see the rain, so then the bracha as articulated right here in our Gemara in Tanis. We don't make this bracha. It is not our minhag to make the bracha. Why not? So some suggest, because for us, because of the areas we live in, the regions we live in, rain is not that exciting. Here, for example, in Florida, it's more or less a daily event. Yeah, in the wintertime, not so much, but it's more or less a daily event. And so therefore, yeah, I understand, right? In other words, is it in use in Eretz Yisrael? I don't think so. Right, I spent some time in my life there, and I don't know. It's the minhag is not to do it. I understand it's in the Gemara. You know how many brachas are actually in the Gemara that are no longer in use. I don't know. It is strange that it's not. This is not popularly done. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Okay, Zayin Amud Aleph, two lines down, and we begin. So we started today's daf with a formal bracha that we make when we see the rain, to show our appreciation to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'll call tipa v'tipa over every drop of rain that comes down. And now from this point going forward, really to the end of today's daf, we talk about the significance of rain. B'derech Agadata, we speak today a lot of Agadic statements coming up in the Gemara, a lot of Machshava. And so it begins with a statement by Rabbi Abahu, Godol Yom HaGeshamim Mitzchias HaMesim. Rain is like Tchias HaMesim. The day that it rains is as great as the day of Tchias HaMesim. In fact, let's say even a little bit better. Gadol Yom HaGeshamim Mitzchias HaMesim. It's actually more than the resurrection of the dead. It put the two against one another, and rain is even greater. And why should that be? The Gemara explains. The Ilu Tchias HaMesim Tzadikim. Because Tchias HaMesim is limited, meaning only Tzadikim experience Tchias HaMesim. V'ilu Geshamim Bein Tzadikim Bein L'Rishamim. When it comes to Geshem, so everyone's going to be a beneficiary of Geshem, and you don't have to be a Tzadik. A Rosh can also be a beneficiary. Tzadik and Rishayim live together, and so the rain comes down, and it's more or less indiscriminate, so therefore it's going to help even the Rishayim as well. Now, he argues with Rav Yosef. This is one of these strange arguments, which will really be hard for me to articulate. It's not greater than Tchias HaMesim, it's equal to Tchias HaMesim. Okay, it does sound like in the world of Agadah that we're having a debate. No, they're definitely difficult to understand, but okay, as best as we can understand it, it's equivalent to Tchias HaMesim. And its equivalency to Tchias HaMesim, in fact, that's why you're going to find it in the second bracha of Shemone Esrei. Meaning in the second bracha of Shemone Esrei, we mention rain during the rainy season and Tchias HaMesim. So there's equivalency between the two. Amar Rav Yehuda Gadol Yom HaGeshamim Ki Yom Shenitna BaTorah. The day that it rains is as great as the day that the Torah was given. Shenamar Yarov Kamatar L'Chin. upon the Shir Sazinu. So we say that it should drip down kematar lichi, like the rain, my lekach. My lekach, lekach is a reference to Torah, ki lekach tov. Ve'en lekach, the Gemara makes this point. Ve'en lekach ala Torah, shenema ki lekach tov, nasati lechem, torasi atazovu. So lekach is a reference to Torah. So you see that with the day that it rains is as great as the day that the Torah was given. Rav Amar Yosef Yom Shenena Batorah. Now Rav says, no, actually more. The day that it rains is greater than the day that the Torah was given. Shenema Yarov Kematar Likhi. What do we say? We say that Lekach should be like rain. When you make comparisons, generally speaking, you say, you know, you play as well as, and obviously the person, whoever you're going to state, is going to be greater than you. Meaning your game should be as good as that person's game. So here also, in the Gemara's and the Torah's analogy, your lekach should be like rain. Oh, okay, fine. Your lekach should be like rain. So it sounds like that me, the Gemara here spells it out. Whenever you make a comparison and you're comparing something to something else, so that object which you're comparing to is obviously going to be greater. So the day that it rains is going to be greater than the day the Torah was given. Rava Ramiksiv. Rava is bothered by what seems to be an apparent contradiction. Yarov kamatar lichi. So on one hand, Torah is compared to rain. Uksiv tizal betal. Sorry. Tizal katal imrasi. So Torah is compared to rain, and then Torah is compared to dew. Rain and dew are not the same. So im tamar chacham hagonu ketal. V'im lav or peu kematar. So, if he's a Talmud Chacham Hagon, if he is proper meaning he behaves well, he reflects the Torah that he learns, so then he's compared to do. But, im lav, but if he's not proper, if he doesn't behave properly, orfeu kematar, so then orfeu. Orfeu, if you take a look at Rashi, one word Rashi. Rashi says orfeu, right, I'm looking for it myself. I know it's there. So, hargeriga. Hargehu. Rashi says, kill him. I don't think literally, but in other words, maybe deserves to die, meaning that he learns Torah, but at the same time, his behavior doesn't reflect the Torah that he learns. Tanya, as long as the Gemara went into this discussion of a Talmud Chacham, proper versus improper, so, Haya Rabbi Bana, Omer Kol Osik B'Torah L'Shma, Torah Sanasa Sol Sam Chayim. You learn Torah L'Shma, so that Torah becomes for you, Sam Chayim. Right, like a medicine with no side effects. So Shenamar Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikim Ba. The Torah is compared to Eitz Chaim. It's the tree of life. Omer Rafos Tiyilis Sarecha. It will be healing. The Omer Ki Motzah Motzeh Chaim. You find Torah, you find life. The Chol Osik B'Torah Shelo Lishma. However, if you learn Torah Shelo Lishma, Nasus Lo Sama Mavis. So then Torah becomes for you a potion of death. Shenamar Yarov Kematar Likchi. The Ya'arof, you see the word Ya'arof, where does that come from? That comes from the word Arifa. The Gemara makes the connection. Ein Arifa Ela Hariga. Arifa is Hariga. Shenamar V'arfu Sham Es Ha'agala B'nachal. Egla Arufa. So the calf is put to death. So you see that the student who learns Torah B'Shalom L'Shma is deserving of death. Our Gemara makes it sound like that Torah should be learned L'Shma. It makes it sound like. It says... Say clearly. Our Gemara says that you should learn Torah lishma for the sake of learning Torah. And the Gemara says that Torah shelo lishma is a bad thing. It's a bad thing. The Gemara speaks very strongly about those who are learning Torah shelo lishma. This bothers Tosfos. Take a look at the top Tosfos on our Amud, where Tosfos notes that the Gemara in Pesachim does not say this. In fact, I think we're all familiar with the Gemara in Pesachim. Tosfos writes, the top Tosfos on the Amud, Vikash, it's difficult, v'alo aminan. So the Gemara in Pesachim says that, look, if you're going to learn Torah Shelo Lishma, that's good. Because we know that when you learn Torah Shelo Lishma, Baal Lishma, so your original motivation for learning Torah may not be for the right reasons, but you keep learning, and ultimately you will end up learning for Torah's sake and not for any ulterior motive. So, we are now at a discrepancy between two Gemaras. Our Gemara says, don't learn Torah, Shelo Lishma, right? And in fact, our Gemara says, Hargeu, right? The person who's deserving of death. And meanwhile, the Gemara Pesachim says, no, it's a good starting point. Torah, Shelo Lishma, great way to start your career in learning. V'yesh lomar, detrei Shelo Lishma have. So, Tosas over here says that we're going to have to say that there are two levels of Shelo Lishma. The Masha Amrin on La'olam Yasek B'Torah Afilu Shelo Lishma. Hainu Klamer, Kedeshi Kra Rabo, O Kedeshi Chabduhu. So Rashi says, the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that you should be learning Torah Shelo Lishma, means that ulterior motives is so that somebody calls you a rabbi, or so that you'll be honored because of the Torah that you learned. That's Torah Shelo Lishma. That, the Gemara Pesachim says, is a good starting point. Well, obviously not the reason why you should be learning Torah, but a good starting point. And then, Mitoch Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma. Umash, Amin, and Hacha, Kol Osek, B'Torah Shelo Lishma, Nasalo, Sama Mavis, Hainu Misha, Lo, Meid, Lik, Kanter. Our Gemara over here that says that learning Torah Shelo Lishma is a terrible thing and the person's deserving of death. That means that he's learning Torah for the sole reason of being cantankerous, of being someone who's going to argue with other people, but not because not because he wants to learn Torah, not even for the ulterior motive of he wants to be called the rabbi, he wants to be honored, but rather because he wants to be a thorn in the side of other people. That's how Tosos understands the distinction between our Gemara and the Gemara in Pesachim. In other words, to basically argue with somebody else, just to be cantankerous. That's our Gemara, and that's what the Tosafot says, and that's Torah Shelo Lishma, which is not a good starting point. In fact, don't, if that's the reason why you should be learning Torah, you shouldn't be learning Torah at all. It seems like Rashi does not agree with Tosafot. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says Lishma. Right now that you see the Tosfos, the discrepancy between our Gemara and the Gemara of Pesachim, Tosfos' resolution of the discrepancy. Now let's take a look at Rashi, and it seems like Rashi does not agree with Tosfos, at least with the way he resolves the discrepancy. Because Rashi Divar Amaskal Lishma, Rashi says, learning Torah Lishma, Mishum Kashir Tzivan Hashem Elokai. Meaning, what's Torah Lishma? You learn Torah because the Hashem commanded us to learn Torah. That's why you should learn Torah. That's Torah Lishma. Velo Kidei Lahakros Rebbe, and not to be called a Rebbe. Meaning the way Rashi understands the Gemara, what's Torah Shelo Lishma? Because you want the honor. You want to be called Rebbe. So it sounds like Rashi doesn't agree with Tosfos. What Tosfos says, learning Torah to be called a Rebbe, to be called a rabbi, that's a good start. Meaning Tosfos says, that's the Gemara in Pesachim. That's not a, right, not the best, obviously, but it's a good place to start. And then, Mitoch Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma. Rashi over here in our Gemara says, no. If you learn Torah to be called a rabbi, that falls under the category of Torah Shelo Lishma in the context of our Gemara, which is our Fehu, our Geu. So, it certainly sounds like Rashi does not agree with Tosfos' distinction. Rashi doesn't, you know, because it's not the style of Rashi. Rashi doesn't bring up the Gemara in Pesachim and point out the apparent contradiction and give us a resolution, but the simple explanation of Rashi does not seem to agree with Tosfos' resolution. Okay, the... And then, obviously, you'd have to figure out, according to Rashi, what does he do with the Gemara Pesachim? Okay, you're gonna have to figure that out, as will I. So, back to the Gemara. Tanya, we are on Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down on the Amud. Tanya will enter a brisa. Hayir Rabbi Bana Omer Kol Osik B'Tor L'Shma Tarasan Osel Samachaim. I'm sorry, I did all this already. I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Okay. Even further down. Amalei Rav Yirmiyah Rabbi Zeira. So Leisimar listening. So Rav Yirmiyah says to Rav Zeira, an invitation, come teach us. Nu, let's go. Let's learn. So Amalei Chalosh Libai V'lo Yechilna. So Rabbi Zeira says right now, literally my heart's weak and I'm not strong enough. Meaning I'm not feeling well. I don't have the koach right now to teach. So lema mar milsa da agarata. Okay, so not learning, but agarata. Okay, so it's clear from the Gemara. In other words, learning obviously takes concentration, takes focus. Okay, not learning. Okay, agarata. Everyone enjoys agarata. It's easier. It's more palatable. Okay, so let's go. Agarata. So amalei hachem rav yochanan my dechsev. Okay, agarata. Yeah, good. I have it queued up. Ki adam etza sadeh. A man is compared to a tree. This is a pasuk in Chumash, the end of Parsha Shoftim. So a man is compared to a tree. Actually, the Torah doesn't say comparison. A man is a tree. And the question is obvious. No, we're not. V'chi ha'adam etzadahu? were trees. So Ella mishum dichsiv. So obviously, when the Torah says it, the Torah does not mean it as a statement. The Torah means it as a comparison. And how do we understand the comparison? So this is what Rav Yochanan teaches us. This is the agadat of Rav Yochanan. Ki mimeno tochav asolo sikares. If it's a fruit bearing tree, so its purpose is to eat from it and don't chop it down. Uksiv oso tashchis. And meanwhile, if it's a non-fruit-bearing tree, so that you are allowed to cut down. Also, tashchitz v'karata. Ha-ketzan. So now, in the analogy of a person, a human being, so you have a human being that's a fruit-bearing human being versus one which is not. The one which is a fruit-bearing tree, don't cut it down. The one which is not, that you cut down. And the Gemara goes and explains the analogy. Im Talmud Chacham Hagon Hu. So if he's a proper Talmud Chacham, so mimena tochav v'osolo sikareis. So eat from that tree, meaning learn from him. Right? Not only does he know Torah, but he behaves in a manner which reflects the Torah that they learned. But im lav also tashchitz v'karata. But if not, so then cut him down, destroy him. Or again, we have no obligation. It's not our obligation. But stay away from him. Don't learn from him. Am Rabbi Chama b'Rebbe Chanina my dichsiv barzel b'barzel yachad. The word yachad over here from the word chad, which means to sharpen. Iron against iron, meaning if you want to have a knife and you want to sharpen it, so hit the metal against another piece of metal. Lamalcha ma barzel ze echad mechadet et chavero, av shnei tamid chachamim, mechadetin ze et ze bahalacha. Come over here, speaks to the importance of learning with a chavrusa, because what ends up happening is you sharpen one another. Am rabba babarachan alam nim shlo divrei Torah ke'esh. The Torah is compared to Eish and Namar Halo Kod Vari Keish Nam Hashem Pasuk Nir Miyahu. My words are like fire. Lamalcha Ma Eish Eino Dolek Yechidi Av Divrei Torah Ein Miskayim Bechidi. Just like fire does not exist by itself, meaning you can't start a fire with one stick. Okay, fire only begins when you have a stick and you're rubbing against another stick. That's the only way you can start a fire. Same thing is true with Torah. Torah will only be Mikayim. It can only sustain if I have two learning with each other. V'hanadam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, my dichsiv, charev al el habadim v'no alo. So charev al sonem shel tamid chachamim, a sword against sonem shel tamid chachamim. We know, we see this time and again, it's a euphemism. It means an actual tamid chacham. She'oskim bad bevad b'torah. When they are stalks independent of one another. Meaning that when you have Talmidei Chachamim, but when they're learning independently, so cherev, they deserve the sword. V'lo od el shemetavshin. And the Gemara speaks to the importance of learning b'chavrusa. Not only does learning by yourself, you deserve cherev, but moreover, you become tipesh, you become dumb. Shenema vin no alu. The Pasuk says you become foolish. V'lo od el shechotim. And furthermore, says the Gemara, you're a chote, you become a sinner. So you see that the word no'alu comes also in conjunction with the word chet, you become a sinner. Another possible source, no'alu, sarait, so on, vihitu et mitzrayim. So you see the word no'alu is in conjunction with vihitu. Vihitu means to become a sinner. So the Gemara over here speaks about the significance of learning bechavrusa. It sharpens one another, and the absence of a chavrusa, if you're learning just simply by yourself, so then it's not good, it's just the opposite. You become foolish, and the Gemara says you end up becoming a chote. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Laman Nimshul Divrei Torah Ke'etz. Torah is referred to as a tree. Shenemar Eitz Chaim Mila Machzik Emal Amalcha. Ma'etz Katan Madlik Etz Agadol. After Tamidei Chachamim Ketanim Mechadedin Es Agadolim. Just like an Eitz Katan, a small piece of wood, can ignite a large piece of wood, so too the young Tamidei Chachamim can sharpen the older ones. Rashi says, how does that work? Rashi says, because you're giving a shiur, you're teaching to young people, and they're asking a lot of questions, and they pepper you with questions. And it forces you, the Rebbe, to sharpen your answers, and to come to a correct conclusion, and the correct way to explain and understand. So that's the analogy, that's the comparison of Torah to a tree. to wood. V'hainu d'am Rabbi Chanina harbe l'amarti merabosai mechaverai yose merabosai. I learned a lot from my rebbeim, I learned a lot from my colleagues, umitalmida yose mikulam. But the most I learned is from my students, meaning by me forcing to have to explain the Torah to my students, it forced me really to sharpen and to get a clarity of Torah. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Ramiksev likra sameh etayumayim. On one hand, the Navi describes that somebody is thirsty, you bring him water. Rashi says the word heisayu is an indication of you bring it to him. And meanwhile, uksiv hoy kol sameh lechulamayim. The other pasuk indicates that if you're thirsty, you go to water. So which one is it? Do you bring the thirsty person water, or is your expectation that he should come to you? Im tamen hagonu likra sameh hasayumayim v'ilo have kol sameh lechulamayim. So the Gemara says, depend. A proper student, Tamid Hagon, so then you, the Rebbe, should go to him. If he's an improper student, so let him come to you. Improper over here in the context means that he behaves accordingly, meaning he's a mensch, and he follows the Torah. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, Rami Ksiv, Yifotza Mayanosecha Chutza. The Mayanos should be spread out outside. Streams of water should be spread out outside. Uksiv, Yulachalavadecha. On the other hand, it also says that it should be just for you. So, Im Tamar Hagonu, Yafotza Mayanosecha Chutza. A proper student, so let him drink from the water, from your Torah. V'im Lav, Yulachalavadecha. But if it's not proper, so keep it to yourself. Don't share it with him. He's not going to behave properly. He's not going to be an ambassador to Torah. Am Rabbi Chanina bar Ida Lamanim Shla Divrei Torah Lamayim. So far today we compare Torah to fire, we compare Torah to wood, to eights, and now the comparison of Torah to water. Dichsev hoy kol tamei lechu lemayim. Anyone who's thirsty, go and drink water. The Gemara understands this pasuk as an analogy. So the Torah is being described as water. Lom lecha mamayim anichem makom gavo v'ochel makom namoch. Av divrei Torah ein miskaimim ela b'mishidato shfelam. Look at the way water behaves. What does water do? Water flees from the high places and goes down, meaning gravity pulls water down, and water always will go drop to the lower place. So too, somebody wants to learn Torah, and somebody wants to keep the Torah that he learns, so go shfela, should go low, meaning do not be arrogant, be low and be unassuming. Water is compared to three liquids. It's compared to, Torah. Okay, thank you. Torah is compared to three liquids. It's compared to water, it's compared to wine, it's compared to milk. First of all, Torah is compared to water that we've seen already. Go and purchase without money and without mechir yain v'chalav. And that which you should purchase for yourself without money is wine and milk. So what does that mean? You're purchasing wine and milk without money. It means Torah. So you are going to acquire for yourself. So you see that in the Nevi'im, so Torah is compared to three liquids. Water, wine, milk. Why these three liquids? Lom lechama, shoshem ashkim halalu, ein miskayim ela bepachos, shebekelem after every Torah, miskayim ela bemi shedato shfela. Where do I keep the wine? Where do I keep the water? Where do I keep the milk? In earthenware jugs. It's not good to keep them in metal. Metal heats it up. Metal's not going to be good. It's kept in earthenware jugs. So too, if you want to keep Torah, if you want to be a receptacle to Torah, so you should be like an earthenware jug. You should be like the lowest of the jugs. You should be shuffle. You should be low. The Gemara over here gives us an anecdote to make this point that we should be low. We should be humble if we want Torah. So a conversation that takes place between the daughter of Kesar, Caesar's daughter, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Ichach ma mifu'a rabbi kli mechoar. So she says to him, I don't understand. Right? Chachma mifu'ara. Right? Such unbelievable chachma. You have so much wisdom. But meanwhile, bechli mechoar. But look what it's in right now. It's in a vessel as ugly as you. right? Rav Yeshua ben Hananya apparently was not a pleasant-looking individual, but he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and she didn't understand how Chachma, which again, I understand she's a daughter of Caesar, but with that Greek philosophy, in other words, not only is there a value to Chachma, but there's also a value to beauty, and she doesn't understand how he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, can be on one hand such a receptacle to Chacham, but at the same time, such an ugly receptacle. So, Amalecha Avim Rami Chamra be Mani de Pachra. So, he says, in explanation, let me ask you a simple question. Right, your father has a lot of wine. Where does he keep the wine? In Mani de Pachra, in vessels that are low vessels, meaning earthenware jugs. Right, that's where he keeps the wine. So, Amalecha be Mani near me. So she says, "Do you have a better? You have a better suggestion?" I sure have a better suggestion. Meaning, the wine is so valuable. Why don't you store the wine in gold and silver utensils? So apparently, she doesn't understand that he was speaking in metaphor. So he says, "Okay." She says, "Fine." She went back home and she transferred all the wine from the earthenware to jugs of gold and silver. Vitakith, and it all became sour. So all that wine became sour. Asav Amale Levarte, Man Amalachache. So now the Caesar says to his daughter, "Who told you to do this?" Amale Rav Yeshua ben Hananya. Well, she said, "Well, it was the idea of Rav Yeshua ben Hananya." Kar Yuhu, they called them in to be questioned by the Caesar. Amale Amay Amar Lehacha. Why did you tell my daughter to take the wine and transfer from the earthenware to the gold and silver? So Amarle, so he says to Caesar, Ki echad Amarle, Amarla. What do you mean? All I did was say the same thing to her that she said to me. She was asking me, how can someone so ugly as you be receptacle to Chachma? So I said, okay, if you don't like the idea, so take your wine and put it in gold and silver. Fine. So Vaha Ika Shapira Digamire. So the Caesar says to Rav Yeshua ben Hananya, okay, but it's not a causation, it's only a correlation. In fact, Caesar says to Yeshua ben Hananya, there are beautiful people who are also Talmidei Chachamim, so you don't have to be someone who's ugly. So his response is, Ihavu sanitfei, havu gamire. Rashi, the way Rashi understands it, the way Rashi seems to understand it, Ihavu sani. Osam naim sheim chachamim. If they were uglier, so then tfei havu gamir, they would have known even more. Sheyefshar lena el hashpiel dato uvalade shechacha. Rashi, the way Rashi understands it is that, yeah, Talmid Chacham can certainly be beautiful, and he can certainly know Torah. However, because of his beauty, it's going to be very difficult for him not to be arrogant and to be humble, and it will be a... You're right. He can be Talmid Chacham, but it certainly is an impediment to his Chachma if he, in fact, is so attractive. That's the way Rashi understands it. Another possible way to understand the Gemara is that his answer is not whether he is or isn't beautiful, but his attitude towards beauty. Meaning, it could be that the person himself is a very pleasant person to look at, but if his attitude towards beauty is okay, but that's not so important, right? He places no particular value on it. But he humbles himself and he places a value on being humble and being self-effacing. So then the Gemara says that's for such an individual, he could be as great as the Talmid Chacham as the person who does not have beauty. Davar Acher, yes. Yeah, the Gemara elsewhere says that learning is like a war, right? Compares it to a battle. But over here the comparisons are to nature, to wood, to fire, to water. Another possible explanation, Mashal Shamashkim Halalo, again, why is Torah compared to the three liquids of water, wine, and milk? Mashal Shamashkim Halalo, Ein Nifsalin Ela Behesach Hadas, Av Devar Torah, Ein Mishtachin Ela Behesach Hadas. You cannot turn your attention away from water, wine, and milk. And if you do turn your attention away, they become puzzled, they become disqualified. I'll explain what that means better in just a moment. Same thing is true with Torah. Don't turn your attention away from Torah. Right? This is definitely a good plug for the Daf Yomi. meaning that you got to be constantly on Torah. You can't take a break from Torah. You take a break from Torah and you're going to lose it. So you got to be constantly, rigorously attentive to Torah, just like with these liquids, you have to be attentive to it. Take a look at Rashi. What does that mean? That with these liquids, if you don't pay attention to it, they're going to become pasul. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, Shim lo yishmerim yafeh, you nishpachim, o nofal otachim davar maus v'nifsalim. If you don't pay careful attention to them, they can either spill, or something bad is going to fall into it, and they'll become disgusting, v'nifsalim ishtos, and therefore no one's going to want to drink it, but davar kal yosem mishemen udvash. And Rashi points out over here, we don't say this by oil, we don't say this by honey. Why not? Rashi writes, Shemitoch shehin avim, Safa hapsos lamala, because they have a thicker viscosity, and therefore, if anything bad falls into it, it's going to rise to the top. Ve'efshar adam notel al yom v'zarko, and you just simply take and you throw it away. Lachutz ve'ha'tachton bar v'naki ma'she'en kein b'mashket salul she'enu av. However, these liquids, the milk, the water, the wine, they are not as viscous, and therefore, it's very easy. You have to be careful with them. You have to watch them all the time, so they do not become disgusting. I'm Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Back to the Gemara. We're on Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the top of the Amud, four lines from the top of the Amud. I'm Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Gadol Yom Gshamim Ki Yom Shenivru Shamayim Va'aretz. Back to how important rain is. Okay, the Gemara diverted in the Agadata to the comparisons of various things to Torah. Wood, fire, water, milk, wine. And now we go back to the significance of rain. That's where we started the daf, and it's where we're going to end the daf. How significant is rain? So yom hagshamim ki yom shenivru shamayim v'aretz. It's like the day that the earth and the heaven and the earth were created. Shenamar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Yishayahu harifu shamayim mimal v'shachakim yuzlu tzedek tiftach eretz v'yifru yesha utzdaka tatzmiach yachara ni Hashem birasiv. Right, the heavens open up, the rain comes down. The shachakim is a reference to the rain. So the earth will open itself up to receive the rain, and sprouting will be salvation. So ani Hashem barasiv. The key over here, the Gemara says, is that last word. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I created, not them. I created it. Birasim lo namar, ela birasiv. I created it. What did I create? What's the main focus over here on? The rain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about his creation of rain. It is really the paramount of creation. I'm Rav Oshia Gadol Yom Gshamim Shafilu Yeshua Para V'Rava Bo. We have salvation that comes through the rain. Shenamar, we go back to the same pasuk, Tiftach Eretz V'Yifru Yasha, that when the rain comes down, so salvation comes up. Right, Ataki Bor the second bracha Shmona Esrei, Ataki Bor Leam Hashem Mechayim Esimat Rav LaHoshia. Right before we say Morid Hageshem, Mashiv Ruach Morid Hageshem, what do we say? Atarav LeHoshia. We talk about Yesha. We talk about salvation. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chani Lai Enek Shemim Yordim Ela Im Kein Nim Chalov Nesem Sheisol. Rain comes down only after the Jewish people are forgiven for their sins. Shenamar Artisa Shem Artzecha Shafta Shavus Yaakov. Nasasa avan imcha kisisa kochata samsela. Only after all the chet has been covered over, meaning after we have received forgiveness, then and only then does rain come down. Amalei ze'iri midihavta l'ravina. Ze'iri says to Ravina. So Rashi over here, obviously sensitive to the generations of the Amorayim. So this is not the regular ze'iri. In the Gemara, Rashi says he's a ze'iri. The standard ze'iri of the Gemara is an early generation Amora. Ravina is a last generation Amora. So there's no way there's a conversation between Ze'iri and Ravina. Rashi says that's why the Gemara over here says it's Ze'iri midi hafta. Okay, I'm not familiar. But anyway, it's not the standard Ze'iri. Asa me'achem asisalan, ana me'achem asisalan. We also learn basically the same point, but we point to a different area in Tanakh. Ve'ata tishma shamayim v'salach l'chatas. The heavens will hear because we're forgiven for our sins. So again, the same basic idea that rain comes down only after forgiveness. Am Rabbi Tanchum Bered de Rabbi Chia Ish Kvar Ako Enek Shamim Netzar and Elam Kenes Kaivus Onem Shal Yisrael Klaya. When does the rain stop? Only when we are guilty of being destroyed. Shenemar Tzia Gamchom Yigazlu Meimei Shalek Shaol Chato. Pasuk in Iyov describes that the lack of rain, the heat, so will steal the rain and the snow. Why? Sha'ol chato, because we sin. So in other words, that the reason why rain is stopped, there's a paucity of rain, is because of the chet of the Jewish people. Again, Ziri tells Ravina, agreed, we just go to a different pasuk to make the same point. Second paragraph of Shema, that the rain comes down. Why? Because we don't follow the mitzvos. And now, basically, the Gemara is going to that previous statement was a very generic statement, meaning that the Jewish people are guilty, and therefore the rain doesn't come down. What the Gemara will do from here until the rest of today's daf is we'll point to specific averas in terms of what exactly we are doing wrong, which will stop the rain from coming down. So number one, the Gemara here points to bittul trumas ha-maisros. Because we don't give trumas ha-maisros, so as a result of that, rain does not come down. How do we get from the pasuk and Iyov to this idea? So the Gemara explains, Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, bishol dram should see vesi eskem. The word siya is understood in the context of tziva, which means things that I commanded you. And things that I commanded you to do in the summertime. Meaning, what are we supposed to do in the summertime? Remember, the winter time, that's when all the crops are growing. So obviously, we're not going to be doing trumas ha-maisros, but that's a practical issue. We don't have the fruit yet. In the summer, we've harvested. We're collecting in the summertime. So now in the summertime, that's trumas ha-maisros time. So because we didn't give it in the summer, so yigazol mechem mimeshalek b'yamosek shamim. So therefore, as a result of that, the rain will be stolen from us, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu will not give us rain the next season. Another reason why rain doesn't come down is because people speaking lashon hara. Shenema ruach safon techalal geshem ufanim nizamim lashon saser. Right, the northern wind will stop the rain from coming down, and why is that? Because of lashon saser, because of the hidden conversations. Right, you'll notice lashon hara. I'm sure everyone made this observation already in life. Lashon hara speaking is spoken quietly, secretly. I'm Rabbi Sala. I'm Rabbi Hamnuna. Nekshem neitzarim ela bishvil azay panim. Another sin is that of arrogance. The arrogance is funny. It's one of those things which we know the Gemara speaks about so strongly, and it's a character trait. Meaning it's not a sin of action, but it's a sin of attitude. But we've seen time and again how strongly the Gemara is against arrogance. Shenemar v'yimna'u revivim u'malkosh lo haya. Kadosh Baruch Hu prevents the rain and the malkosh. Malkosh, we already discussed yesterday's daf. That's the late rain. U'meitzach isha zona hayalach, because of literally the forehead of a prostitute, meaning she's arrogant. The Amar Rav Sala, Amar Rav Hamnuna, kol adam sheyesh lo azus panim sof nichshal be'aveira. A person is arrogant, and eventually he's going to stumble on sin. Shenemar u'meitzach isha zona hayalach. Right, the mention in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu of a zona means that he's going to engage in znus, in illicit sexual behavior, because of his arrogance. Rav Nachman Amar biyadush nichshal ba'avera. In fact, if you see somebody arrogant, you don't even have to you don't have to speculate. Did he sin? Yeah, he sinned. So I understand we have a general idea of dan lekaf tzchos, we should judge everyone favorably. But the Gemara says, but if you see somebody who's really arrogant, you can arrive at safe conclusions. Shenemar hayalacha v'lo nemar yiyalach. It says he was, not he will be. So you see somebody who has a character trait of being arrogant, so you can probably guess correctly that he already sinned. I'm a rabbi, Rav Huna called him sheish lo azus panim, mutal across a rasha. Somebody who is arrogant, so you have permission to call him a rasha, despite the fact that the Torah says, we'll get to the haftar recha kamoch in just a moment. Rashi, up ahead. But okay. In other words, we have no right to refer to anyone as a rasha. Generally speaking, that's true. Person's arrogant, you have the right. Shenemar ha'ez ha'ish rasha bifanav. Right, the person who has azus, who has arrogance, So Rasha Bafanav, right in front of him, you could say that he's a Rasha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Mutal Asan Oso. You have permission to hate him. Now we could say the Rashi. Rashi says, Mutal Asan Oso, Alpha Gav Dechsiv, Avdol Recha Kamocha. Okay, we know. We should hate nobody. We should love everybody. Right? Correct. Generally. But someone who has asus panim, someone who's arrogant, so you have permission to hate him. Shenemar va'as panav, Yishuneh, in the literal meaning of the pasuk means that he will undergo a change. Al tikra yishuneh, ela yisaneh. You have permission to hate him. Amrav ketina, enak shem netzarim, ela bishvil bitul Torah. Another thing to add to the list of why rain doesn't come down, and that's because of bitul Torah. We do not take advantage of the time that's given to us, and we don't study Torah when time permits. Shenamar ba'atzasayim yimach ha-mikara. Bishvil atzus shayah b'yisrael, because of the laziness that we have, shalo asku b'torah, that we didn't learn Torah, nasis sono shal kadosh baruch hu. Mach. We become enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, become poor. Ein mach ela ani. The word mach is a reference to poor. Shenemar v'im machu me'erkecha. We saw that a number of weeks ago in Parsha. The word mach means to become poor, to become indigent. V'ein mekari ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the roofer, what's the roofer reference to? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar ha-mekari ba-mayim aliyosav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you poor, because you were atzlan, because you were lazy, you didn't learn Torah when given the opportunity. Rav Yosef Amar Mehach Vatala Ra'ur Or by here, Hu Bishkakim Veruach Evra V'Titareim. And again, we're going to decipher the pasuk in the context that we're discussing. Ein Or Ela Torah Or is the reference to Torah Shenemar Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. By here Hu Bishkakim. And because we didn't engage in Torah, right now, go back to the pasuk in Eov. Lo Ra'u Or. Because we didn't learn Torah, by here hu b'shchakim. So we are going to the sky will be clean, meaning no rain coming down. Time to be Rav Yishmael afilu b'sha'a she rakia nasas buarim buarim la rital matar ruach evra v'tetarim. And even if, let's say, it's a little bit cloudy outside and it looks like it's going to rain, the wind's going to scatter the cloud and no rain is going to come down. Am Rabbi Am Einik Shem Netzar Ne'ela ba'avon gezel. Another sin that prevents the rain from coming down, and that's gezel, stealing. Shenemar, el kapayim kisa or ba'avon kapayim, because of what we do with our hands, we steal with our hands, so kisa or. Ein kapayim ela chamas, kapayim is a reference to chamas, taking things from others. Shenemar, umina chamas asher b'kapayim, pasuk in Yonah, ve'ein or ela matar, and or is a reference to the rain. Shenemar, yafitz anan oro. My takante. So, well, how do you remedy this situation? If we didn't go further in the Gemara, I'd say, how do you remedy theft? It's very simple. You return the object that you stole. And my takante, and interestingly enough, I don't have a good pshat in the Gemara, but the Gemara here tells us the remedy is yarbe b'tfila. So you should engage in a lot of tfila. You should beseech and petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps, I'm thinking off the top of my head, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just simply mention returning the lost item. It could be returning the stolen item. It could be that the Gemara over here is talking about where that's no longer a possibility. Unclear. Unclear why just Heshiv is Exela. Anyway, what you do in order to remedy is Tfilah Shenemar V'Yitzavala B'Mavgiyah. Right, you should be involved in mafgia in pigia ela tefila, and pigia is a reference to davening. Shenema va'ata al tispala ba'namazeh va'al tifka b. Okay, don't daven anymore. Okay, stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point. Okay, so today's daven in a nutshell is talking about the significance of rain. How significant is it for the rain to come down? So the Amud Aleph spent a lot of time talking about the importance of rain. We started today with the bracha of rain. The Amud Beis also continued with that theme of how important it is to rain. Other things we discussed today, Torah being compared to wood, to fire, to water, to milk, to wine. Why the significance of that? We talked about being a proper student in terms of learning of Torah. Torah Lishma versus Torah Shelo Lishma. We noted today the discrepancy between our Gemara and the Gemara in Pesachim in terms of whether there's a value of learning Torah Shelo Lishma. Our Gemara says, no, there's not. The Gemara in Pesachim says, yes, there is. We attempted to resolve that discrepancy. And we ended today with talking about various chataim, various sins that prevent the rain from coming down.